Well, good morning. You are all good prayers, we must tell you. The email we sent out the other day about our power outage was actually resolved the very same day rather than Monday the 4th.
Thank you so much.
But after almost 20 hours with no electricity and a lot of work on our calendar this week, it has taken us some time to get around to recording. But at last, here we are. It's Wednesday morning, January 6th, and we're thankful and blessed. We trust you are also, and we wish you a happy new year. With the 2021 loosely laid theme set to focus on Christ in you, our desire is to inspire a freshness in our personal study of God's Word. Personal study and consideration of words that God has authored are essential to that prosperous journey 3 John 2 speaks of. Not that there aren't bumps in the road, but with God's wisdom and knowledge, we are equipped to complete our journey. In Psalm 12, verse 6, it reads, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times." That word pure indicates that the silver has gone through a process for eliminating impurities that float on molten metal. The silver in this verse, it says it's heated 7 times and the impurities removed. So it is pure, pure, pure. Now let's look at this, how it plays out in Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Every word. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Well, what is a shield made of? A shield is made of metal, right? And every word is part of that shield. Every word of God is pure and is part of that shield. We can trust in that for sure. It is, God's word to us is so necessary and serviceable. It's a simple message, but consider life without it. We see it everywhere around us where people are totally at risk. They're drowning. They have no pure and undefiled standard for their thoughts and expectations in life. Everything is done on feelings and situations. It is truly heartbreaking to know how their lives could be helped, yet they do not accept the pure and simple remedy to their troubles on this earth. In 1 Timothy 4:15-16, Paul, the Apostle Paul, charged Timothy regarding his contemplations in the Word. "Meditate upon these things, and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself," in verse 16, "and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Love Acts 17:11, it speaks about the Bereans' noble searching of the Scriptures. In that, they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So here you have a group of wonderful believers, eager to hear the teachings of the Bible. They willingly receive the teachings with zeal. But then they search the Scriptures on their own. And it wasn't out of a doubting or unbelieving heart to disprove what Paul taught and other teachers, but from their sense of personal responsibility and accountability. They not only went into what was taught. They entered into the teaching after it was finished. They weren't hearers only, and then you just sit around waiting for another teaching. We'll see so much more of how this works as we get into the work and the function of the Holy Spirit. That'll be down the road some. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16, these verses are really unmistakable in study. Now, although it's true, 2 Timothy is an epistle that lists the qualifications of an overseer in the body of Christ, yet we can read that and there is much to be learned. So, in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy about the hardships and difficult times that were on the rise. Paul had brought young Timothy up in the Word, and he wrote this intense letter to him. In fact, Paul called Timothy his beloved son in the faith. So in chapter 2, verse 14, Paul instructed Timothy, "Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." It's important that we don't waste time wrangling over trifling matters that are on the periphery of the Word. There's no trifling matter in the Word. There's no profit to that. That bad habit will only fuel the devil's agenda. Going on in verse 15, he tells Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, he's not talking classroom style, where one enters in to gain knowledge and become credentialed. Our credentials are wrapped up in the Christ in us. Paul is sending this to Timothy from his second imprisonment. He was in bonds with very few visitors. These believers of that day, they needed the power of the word fluid in their lives. They didn't have time for it to just rattle around intellectually. The times were dire. Paul continued in verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Wow, what a shame. Profane means to desecrate, to treat holy things with irreverence. And treating God's word that way produces ungodliness. Reading in Ephesians chapter 4, we see the desired result for the gift ministries and teachings, starting in verse 11. "And he," speaking of God, "gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers." God gave. Well, if God gave, then they are needed for a period of time until the return of Christ. I'm not going to argue with that. Verse 12 tells us the goodly prophet. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Teachings are to result in the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of this weaves together so that we speak the truth in love and mature in spiritual understanding. Included in this letter to Timothy, back in verse 7, Paul said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding." The Lord give thee understanding in all things. And I think this is a pretty amazing verse, because here we have the Apostle Paul teaching Timothy in a personal one-on-one manner, yet with all of Paul's oratory skills, his unparalleled heart for the things of God, it is not the teacher who gives the understanding. You know, we can ask questions of the teacher till we're blue in the face. But for understanding, we are to ask of the Lord. With the subject of studying the Word in mind as we start this year off, Larry and I discussed at length the benefit of covering the two opposing approaches to biblical study. And in light of our year's teachings ahead, we concluded it is beneficial and do want to bring it forth for your remembrance or instruction. For many of you, it may serve as a review, and for others, it could be a first hearing. I don't know. As Larry likes to say, it is important, so it bears repeating. The two conflicting approaches to biblical study are exegesis and eisegesis. It's E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S and E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. One, exegesis, leads us to the rightly divided word, because we go in and we allow the word to speak. The other leads to ungodliness, because we take our points to the word and look for verses to prove them. You know, what a travesty that through a wrong approach to the study of the word, we would be led ourselves and lead others into ungodliness. So we do see our study method counts, and our appraisal of the worth of God counts even more. So when I take my thoughts to the word to back them up, I'm really making quite a prideful statement just by my conduct and manner of thought. The exegesis approach, which is the good one, is concerned with discovering the true meaning of a passage. And more than anything else, it has ever so much to do with our pure heart that holds the scriptures in the highest regard. Exegesis, the good one, means that we approach the scriptures believing they are the words of God, and that his words will lead us in our lives as he promised. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, this message is pretty clear. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. No eisegesis. That's the bad, where we take our own private interpretation and go to the word and back it up, what we think. So knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So that takes eisegesis approach to study off the table. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, not just words put together a long time ago that sounded morally upright. That's not what the Word of God is. And the Word doesn't age. It's eternal. It's the Word of God. It's God's heart. It's not ever going to be outdated. You know, our world may wax worse and worse, but we don't degrade the word to fit with the craziness in the world that the devil continues to mount up. You know, the word of God continues day by day to speak the truth, 24/7, 365. Remember, we read a few weeks ago that the words our spirit and they are life. It was in John 6:63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul was so thankful for the brethren there because of their heart to receive the word. And he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We study. We all have varying degrees of study skills. It's our heart we present to God. And we study that the Holy Spirit would work within us to teach us spiritual truths. Studying the Word is not to be intellectual. It is not to be a religious discipline about which we boast, our little personal study place with our books all in order and our pens and our papers and our headphones and this, that, and the other. You know, that's not it. It's not to be a religious discipline. Our personal study is an intimate time with God. It's just as intimate as prayer. It's just as intimate as going to the Father in any other category. obviously. We use our flesh to perform study, you know. But study is to be a spiritual experience. There's no PhD required to work the Word of God. Recall in Acts chapter 2 where those gathered on the day of Pentecost heard the wonderful works of God spoken in their own language, verse 7 and 8. And they were all amazed and marveled, the people gathered there, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" And in that day and time, the inhabitants of Galilee were considered to be unlearned and ignorant. In verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born?" You know, they could hardly believe it. Here were these unlearned and ignorant men, and we're hearing wonderful works of God in our own languages. Again, in Acts 4, verse 13, "Now when they," speaking of the high priest and the cohorts, "saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So the rulers of people and the elders of Israel, they're totally baffled by the boldness and spirituality of these first century church believers. So now let's discuss a little more the opposing study approach, which is eisegesis, E-I-S-E. This is where, like I said, we interject our own ideas into the text, finding scriptures that we think will prove our points. I recall early in our marriage, Larry exposed the danger of making decisions and later thinking of verses to support my decisions. You know, you make a decision on a whim or on an emotion or according to circumstances, how you feel, and then you think of verses that kind of substantiate what you've decided to do. You know, his counsel proved to be great, and I've really always been thankful to have received his warning and taken his caution to heart. You know, we want to have the truth in our hearts so that our decisions are formulated according to the will of God and not out of the fleshly resources of the human body. You know, really, ungodliness is on the way to our doorstep when we go to the Word with a theological bias. And honestly, maybe not theological, but the most deceptive bias is going to the Word thinking, "Oh, I already know that verse. I mean, you know, we've taught teachings before and asked people to turn to a certain verse, and the second you say John 3:16, they don't even touch their Bibles. They already know that verse. You know, they know. And you can't judge what they're thinking or what it means. But the point is, it is a warning. Oh, I already know that verse. You know what? We aren't going to know any verse until the Lord returns. Not in all there is to know. Going to the Word every time with a fresh expectation to be open to God for His gift to lead us into more depth, more understanding, and so forth. You know, for most of us, there is not a verse we have read today that we have not already read, and even perhaps 100 times. Yet, this morning, we're relating them in a way to endeavor to reinvigorate our expectations and our proper respect for God's Word. You know, it should be unparalleled. And when we read the Word of God, it will speak for itself. God does not need help saying what He wants to say. Exegesis, the good approach, takes into consideration the language of that day, what was happening in history, the biblical and non-biblical cultures at the time, certainly the context of the message in its biblical setting. And those are some of the things that will come into focus as we present teachings this year to really add a little depth in that manner. The word for study spoken of in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we read a little while ago, it's a word that means we are prompt and earnest to exert ourselves in the labor of the Scriptures. So, here's the deal. Study is not about the brevity of time on the backside, but on the front side, on the front end. In other words, get on it. Oftentimes, much time is required. It might not be done in one study session, nor does it have to be. We well may read, look up various aspects of a verse we're working, and maybe we won't even walk away with much information or any understanding. But you have to know you have entered information into your mind. And then as we pray and thank God for its meaning, in time the verse will open to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And this word for study is from a word indicating an earnestness in accomplishing or striving for something. Our timeline is get to it. But once we're in it, don't you see, there's no timeline. It's our biblical expectation every time we go to the Word to continue to learn, to continue to understand. Verses are full and how they interrelate to other passages. It's a spiritual diligence. It's from the heart. It's not a physical discipline where we line all our physicals up, get everything set, and once you're all ready to sit down and study, all you have is one big fat mental block. We should not confuse spiritual diligence with personal discipline. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. So, think about it this way. Our study time is time, our time with the author. And really, backstories are so interesting. I enjoy interviews where an author gives the basis for the book and shares what the book means to them personally. Sometimes we find this out in the introduction of the book. Well, how much greater to sit with God, read His Word, and pray for Him to give us the backstory. When the Holy Spirit impresses truth and understanding upon your heart, you won't need a notebook. You won't forget it. It will swell within you in the days to come, and it will resurface in you as the Holy Spirit works within you. It will be there. What you have learned, what God has revealed to you, it will be there in that moment of need. It's your shield. Every word is pure. This kind of study will become the starting point for the Word to take hold within you so that God, His Word, and all things concerned will become your all in all. When we first began Beloved of God, Larry and I would pray every morning first thing for God to fit two more verses together for us. And He has been so faithful. We have endeavored to teach to the best we knew at any given time. And as a result, some teachings we have changed incrementally for one reason or other, even balancing out subjects. But as we are taught of the Spirit, we upgrade. You know, we don't have a doctrine. The Word is the doctrine. And as we understand that doctrine, we move out on it. This year, not only will we be working on Christ in you, but we'll be seeking clarifications from the pure words of God concerning Him, His Son, and the functioning of the gift of Holy Spirit. Because we really do want our understanding concerning our relationship with God to have clarity and to be purposeful and profitable to our lives. We're taking this year week by week. Believe me, we do not have a lesson plan. We're kind of embarking on a remarkable journey as far as our hearts of believing go. As we mentioned in our last sharing for 2020, we are so very grateful for the time afforded us in our personal lives to for us to work together in the Word. And it may be that one week, such as this very first week, we are not ready on Sunday. But we're going to send teachings, and we're thinking we're going to send them every Sunday for sure. This was just a strange week. But we'll send teachings as we have something to say, but we're not going to honor a day of the week or a calendar event, because we want to honor God, and, you know, He knows when our teachings need to be ready. Our ministering here in North Liberty is pretty unique. It's pretty much one-on-one with our neighbors and business relationships. We do not hold a formal fellowship in our home anymore or at the chapel. You know, and it really is a wonderful means to serve and minister to others regarding the specifics in their lives and to bring them along in the Word as individuals. So that's kind of what we're up to. And, you know, we love thinking of you all. We love praying for you. And believe me, Larry and I receive great comfort in knowing your prayers for us. So love and blessings this week. God bless you.